Shalom, Vishnu Hare, peace of Christ today. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamani Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pachanani, Vivasesha Sanyamani, Vishvati Vesitara. Om Ajanati Mirandasya, Janan Janan Savataya, Chaksuru Samaritani Vyantas, Mai Sri Vare Mala, Sri Chaitanya Manusam, Sati Tamadevi today, Sayam Rupa Kalamayam Dagati Sapanatikam. Mandika Pratibhyas Chah Pipasandhu Vaya Vichah Katitanam Pavani Vyo Vaishnava Namo Namah. How did you get here? You didn't drive that moped all the way from England.
I just came for 2 weeks.
Not by moped.
My family's staying out of there.
Oh, I didn't know that. Actually, you probably did tell me that. No, there. You told me in Barcelona. So when Krishna had been taken away by Trinavarta, and that was such a, one would have to say, sweet or acute point by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, explaining that Krishna, having his many reasons for displaying each of his pastimes, when he was lifted high in the sky by Trinavarta, one was that he wanted to kill this asura that was sent by Kamsa to kill him. Another reason why he who could become as heavy as the universe made himself so light so Trinavarta could lift him and then again made himself heavy was because he wanted to enjoy the thrill of going high in the sky. Very natural. Very natural in every human being because it is also natural in Krishna. And the third reason, and perhaps the cutest of reasons, is that the ladies in Swargaloka wish to see the beautiful childlike form of Krishna. And Krishna wished to allow them to see that form, and therefore by going so high, they could see this beautiful baby Krishna, who was so beautiful and so attractive. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur will later say that his blackishness, or his black color, his shama color, is not in any way low class, but rather it is so brilliant and effulgent and therefore attractive. And Krishna, possessing all potency, all power, regardless of his form, carried to the sky and then became heavier, and then the demon couldn't carry him and smashed to the ground and died. And Krishna was left playing upon this Trinavartasura's chest. He had a soft landing upon Trinavarta, and Trinavarta had a very hard landing on the slab of stone. And then all the residents of Vrindavan who were simply fearing for Krishna's welfare, Mother Yasoda was crying. Does anyone remember the analogy that was given? Like a yes, a cow who had lost her calf. She was just crying and crying and crying. Where is Krishna? Where is he gone? Because Mother Yasoda, like all the Vrishbhasis, knew nothing but Krishna. In other words, with Krishna their life had fullness, and without Krishna their life was empty. But when it was empty of Krishna, when Krishna was not there, it was also a different kind of being full, because Krishna would be present in the depth of their remembrance of Him. So the Vrishbhasis, when they saw that Krishna was safe, they began to speak amongst themselves. We'll read text 31. Oho Bhata Adibhutameshracha. Oho, this indeed, Ati Adibhutam. Ati means very, very, very Adibhutam, very wonderful. How this astonishing, how this Rakshasa was killed. Even though he had taken away, he was so powerful, and he had taken Krishna away to kill him, possibly even eaten him. Eating him. But still, he died, and Krishna was again saved. See how Yogamaya covered over there any possible understanding that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It was removed by Yogamaya so that they can enjoy the sweetness of just the intimacy of their relationship with Krishna. So in text 31, they say, it is most astonishing that although this innocent child was taken away by the Rakshasa to be eaten, he has returned without having been killed or even injured. Because this demon was envious, cruel, and sinful, he has been killed for his own sinful activities. That is the law of nature. How many people today believe in that being the law of nature? That if one commits sinful activities, acts cruelly, cheats, lies, steals, kills, acts dishonestly, how many people believe that those things will cause their doom? Today, naturally, people think those things are, practically speaking, the only way one can live in this world and survive and get any success. It is rare to find an actual honest person. Practically speaking, it is impossible to find a person with perfect integrity amongst the materialists. Why? Because a materialist will have a price. Because he is a materialist. That means his life exists in the realm of matter. His goals are matter, his ideals are matter, his wealth is matter. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur commented upon examining the character, as he said, of his of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He said he understood that only a Vaishnava can actually live in this world with integrity, because he has a jewel. He has wealth that nothing in the material world can compare to, so therefore nothing in the material world has a great enough price to pull him from his determination to fully surrender to and serve Krishna. There is nothing in the material world that he would trade for that. Param dvisvinavartite. How many people in the material world can live by the standard of integrity? This is the law of nature. Law means unbreakable. An innocent devotee is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and a sinful person is always vanquished for his sinful life. Krishna conscious life, Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport, means innocent devotional life. We read this, didn't we? Either that or I read it when I prepared. So, put so succinctly and sweetly and yet instructively, Krishna conscious life means innocent devotional life. And a sadhu is one who is fully devoted to Krishna. As confirmed by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, bhajate mam ananyavak. Ananyavak means without any other object of his devotion. Sador eva. Bhajate mam ananyavak sador eva. Such a person who is focused, vyavya satmika buddhi ekeha kurum nandana, who is focused solely on Krishna, sadhu eva. He is certainly a sadhu. Sadhu means also good, means saint also. So anyone fully attached to Krishna is a sadhu. Fully attached to Krishna. Because there can be nothing that can deviate him if he is fully attached to Krishna. And when one is partially attached to Krishna, that means partially not attached to Krishna. That means partially attached to something else. And if we are partially attached to something else, that something else will always lure us. And really, partially attached to something else means that we are in false ego, because real ego means established in one's identity as Krishna's, Krishna's servant. If we have attachment to ourselves being the master, that means some false ego is there. But Krishna will gradually, as Kapila Muni explains in the third canto, by the process of devotional service, that false ego, the subtle body, will be gradually dissolved. And Krishna so kindly, Harishya Tadaram Sanai, he makes arrangements to remove all the impediments. The other impediments means material attachments and artis from his devotee's heart. And that sends the devotee into deeper dependence and surrender on Krishna. So Narada Maharaj and the gopis and other cowherd men could not understand that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead playing as a human child, and that his life was not in danger under any circumstances. Rather, because of their intense parental love for Krishna, they thought that Krishna was an innocent child and had been saved by the Supreme Lord. In the material world, because of intense lust and desire for enjoyment, one becomes implicated in sinful life more and more. Kama esha krodha esha rajaguna samud bhava. Therefore, the quality of fear is one of the aspects of material life. Ahara nidra bhaya matunam cha. But if one becomes Krishna conscious, the process of devotional service, shravanam kirtanam, diminishes one's polluted life of material existence, and one is purified and protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, one can say that proportionately, as much as one is dependent upon Krishna, yayatam mam papadyante tamstataiva bhajam yam, then Krishna will protect the devotee. But one can also say that if one even calls out Krishna, has even called out Krishna's name even once, or one has made a sincere, or is making a sincere endeavor to please Krishna despite his material contaminations, still Krishna will take care of such a person. He is under Krishna's care. So the process of devotional service, Shravanam Kirtan, diminishes one's polluted life of material existence, and one is purified and protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanam. In devotional life, one has faith in this process. And not only does one have faith in the process, one also partakes in the process. What is the partaking of the process? Hearing and chanting about Krishna. Shravanam Kirtanam Smaranam Vishnu, about Vishnu, about Krishna. And that, when one is eager for that, Shrimatam Svakata Krishna, Vidhyantisto Yabhadrani Vidhanoti Surat Satam, that Krishna from within the heart, he helps, he removes further of the inauspiciousness, whatever is there in the heart that's holding us back from his service, from purity, then Krishna will gradually remove it. And a devotee has faith in this process. Such faith is one of the six kinds of surrender. Rakshishyatiti Vishvasa Hari Bhakti Vilas. One of the processes of surrender is that one should simply depend on Krishna. This is the central process, actually, of surrender. And the other aspects are the angas. That is the angi, that is the other parts, the other five. Gotripte varanam data, actually, that's the main one. Placing one's fully under Krishna's protection and then depending on Krishna, rakshishyatiti vishvasa, full faith. Krishna will protect his devotee is a fact. That Krishna will protect his devotee is a fact. And Narada Maharaj and other inhabitants of Vrindavan accepted this very simply, although they did not know that the Supreme Lord himself was present before them. There have been many instances in which a devotee like Prahlad Maharaj or Dhruva Maharaj has been put into difficulty even by his father, but has been saved under all circumstances. Therefore, our only business is to become Krishna conscious and depend fully on Krishna for all protection. Prabhupada was so strong in insisting on this point. He would preach to all persons, regardless of who they are, whether they were young, innocent, new followers, or wealthy Indian businessmen, or great celebrities, or scholars, or he would preach this point. Why? Because this is Krishna's point. Sarvadamam Pratyajamam Ekamsharanam Vraja. That we should surrender to Krishna and depend upon him. Our only business is to become Krishna conscious. That is human life's purpose. To become Krishna conscious, to relish the sweet taste of one's relationship with Krishna, and depend fully on Krishna for all protection. Who will be so bold? And it isn't to do that. Who will be so bold? But it takes more than boldness, which can be a sentiment. It takes purity. Because one can say, yes, I'm going to do it, and then go charging down the road, surrendering on Krishna, and then one says, whoops, what about this and what about that, and go charging back in the opposite direction. Then it would be a sentiment. But purity and knowledge are required as well to make one steady and strong. An attachment to Krishna. But yet Prabhupada puts this forward as the goal of every person's life. Our only business is to become Krishna conscious and depend fully on Krishna for all protection. Ultimately, when it's time to leave this world, if we haven't developed the art and the confidence and faith in Krishna that he will protect us, then when our body is falling apart, and it certainly will at some point or another, where will we go for protection? Will we be like the personal friend of Prabhupada who begged the doctor to please postpone his death for another 2 or 3 years so that so he could finish the remainder of his plans? Will we be like that, or will we just be terrified? Or will we be like Sridhar Maharaj recently? All right. Let go, he said. Sridhar Maharaj, right about 2 or 3 days before Sujirani Mataji left this world, I telephoned him and asked him if he would call Sujirani. Because he was in the hospital at that time, very, very sick in Bombay. So he called her, and I couldn't hear what he was saying. But she was saying, "Yes, Maharaj, yes, Maharaj, yes, Maharaj." He was so amazing, because he was when I called him, he was really, really weak. But the more he started talking on the phone, I could tell the more strong and fired up he was getting. And his preaching, this is the power of preaching. And then later, just a few days before he left this world, I asked him, I called him in Mayapur, and I asked him what he told her. And he told me, he told her to let go, don't be afraid. So a devotee's only business is to become Krishna conscious and depend fully on Krishna for all protection. Where else will we actually find protection? Everything else is durasraya, false shelters. Nanda Maharaj and the others said, this is text 32, we must previously have performed austerities for a very long time. Worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, perform pious activities for public life, constructing public roads and wells, and also given charity, as a result of which this boy, although faced with death, has returned to give happiness to his relatives. So Nanda Maharaj was very innocent. This boy, that he was so intent on performing pious activities and even rituals to protect, was the Supreme Personality of Godhead and giving protection to him and all the other residents of Vrindavan. Having seen all these incidents in Brihadvan, what is Brihadvan?
Forest, great forest.
Well, what forest is it? What's the common name we usually call it?
Mahavan.
Mahavan. Brihad means great. Mahavan is Gokul, or by Gokul. So this was still while they were in Gokul. Krishna doesn't, and the residents of Vrindavan don't leave for the forest of Vrindavan, where they will take up their residence. And Vrindavan includes Nandagaon, Barshana, Govardhan, and part of the Yamuna River, and the Vrindavan town, what is now the Vrindavan town. So they won't leave Gokul or Mahavan for that area for another few chapters. So, in any case, having seen all these incidents in Brihadvan, Nanda Maharaj became more and more astonished, and he remembered the words spoken to him by Vasudev in Mathura, who told him, "Be careful, go back quickly." He had gone to pay his taxes, Nanda Maharaj did. "Go back quickly, because there may be some trouble in Gokul." Now here comes, so this is the, now we're going to hear the third pastime in this one chapter. The first was the Uttana ceremony, where Krishna was coming out of the house for the first time after 1 month, and he was placed under the cart and kicked it with his gentle lotus-like feet that were as soft as
leaf.
The new leaf was so soft, and yet this would have kicked the whole big cart, went flying, broken. So that was the first pastime that we've heard in this chapter, and then Trinavarta the second, and here is the third. One day, Mother Yasoda, having taken Krishna up and placed him on her lap, was feeding him milk from her breast with maternal affection. The milk was flowing from her breast, and the child was drinking it. O King Prickett, when the child Krishna was almost finished drinking his mother's milk, and Mother Yasoda was touching him and looking at his beautiful, brilliant, smiling face. Beautiful, brilliant, smiling face. The baby yawned. And Mother Yasoda saw in his mouth the whole sky, the higher planetary system and the earth, the luminaries in all directions, the sun, the moon, fire, air, the seas, islands, mountains, rivers, forests, and all kinds of living entities, moving and non-moving. Now, we've been talking about how the residents of Vrindavan, they cannot see how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because if the mothers and fathers of Krishna and all the elders of Vrindavan considered themselves, they had maternal and paternal feelings for Krishna, if they saw him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they would be asking him for things, which is less intimate than always trying to protect him. How could one protect the all-powerful? It's not required. Rather, one asks him for protection. So always, this knowledge of Krishna's incredible power, although he displayed it so frequently, Putana, Trinavarta, Shakatajura, was always being overwhelmed by the sweetness of their madhurya bhav, their sweetness of their intimate loving dealings. But what's going to happen now? Mother Yasoda has looked in Krishna's mouth when Krishna yawned, and she's seen the entirety of the material creation. What do you think? Do you think this incredible vision is going to overwhelm the sweetness of her love? And then she's going to be shocked and think, oh, this boy is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I've been punishing him, I've been doing this, I've made a great blunder, like Krishna in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna says, please forgive me, when he sees Krishna's Vishwarup, his universal form, he asks Krishna for forgiveness for the familiarity he's displayed. Sometimes they would lie together on the bed. Sometimes Arjuna had teased him, oh, you are very truthful, when Krishna maybe was exaggerating. And then when Arjuna caught a glimpse of Krishna's opulence, he was fearful, and he apologized to Krishna, and he didn't want to see this form anymore. But the sweetness of the intimacy of the relationship was ruined. But watch what happens here. Let's see how it is explained. Purport to 36. By the arrangement of Yogamaya, Krishna's pastimes with Mother Yasoda were all regarded as ordinary. In what sense does Prabhupada mean ordinary? Meaning not superhuman, like a Naralila, like an ordinary human being. So here was an opportunity to Krishna to show his mother that the whole universe is situated within him. In his small form, Krishna was kind enough to show his mother the Virata Rupa, the universal form, so that she could enjoy seeing what kind of child she had on her lap. The rivers have been mentioned here as the daughters of the mountains, Nagams Tadhurit. It is the flowing of the rivers that makes big forests possible. There are living entities everywhere, some of them moving and some of them not moving. No place is vacant. This is a special feature of God's creation. So, Prabhupada has different aspects of his purport. The first was directly pertaining to the relationship between Mother Yasoda and Krishna, and the rest talked somewhat about what Mother Yasoda saw in the universal form within Krishna's mouth. That was text 36. We'll read Vishwanath's Chakravarti Thakur's comment to 35 and 36, he's placed them together. Bhutan Prabhupada did also here. Krishna had almost completely finished drinking Yasoda's milk when Krishna yawned. Yasoda saw the entire universe within his mouth. In another version of Srimad Bhagavatam, it states that while Yasoda was kissing Krishna, she saw the universe in his stomach. Lord Brahma makes the same point in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.16, Krishnasya chantar jatare janaya jananya. O Lord, you exhibited the universe within your abdomen before your mother, Yasoda. This is Krishna. Though Krishna was lying in his mother's lap, by his inconceivable energy, he is also the foundation of the entire universe. At the moment Krishna yawned, he displayed the universe with all its details by his inconceivable energy. Yasoda saw the antariksha, the outer space, or the area between Burloka and Bhuvaloka. Bhuvaloka, Swargaloka, Martyaloka, Patalaloka, the three worlds, the constellations, the directions, the sun, moon, fire, air, Jambadvipa and the other islands, the trees, forests, the daughters, Dhurit, that means the rivers, as Prabhupada explained, of the mountains, Nagan, the rivers, and all moving and non-moving entities. So very much parallel to what Prabhupada said in his purport. And here's the 37th and the final verse in this chapter. When Mother Yasoda saw the whole universe within the mouth of her child, her heart began to throb in an astonishment. She wanted to close her restless eyes. Prabhupada's purport. We'll read some of it. Because of her pure maternal love, Mother Yasoda thought that this wonderful child playing so many tricks must have had some disease. She did not appreciate the wonders shown by her child. Rather, she wanted to close her eyes. She was expecting another danger, and therefore her eyes became restless, like those of a deer cub. This was all the arrangement of Yogamaya. The relationship between Mother Yasoda and Krishna is one of pure maternal love. In that love, Mother Yasoda did not very much appreciate the display of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's opulence. Here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. Suddenly, or at the same time, Yasoda began trembling out of fear as she looked in his mouth and saw the universal form. She closed her eyes in order to meditate on Vishnu. O Lord, please protect my child from this disturbance. Just see. He opened his mouth, she saw the universe in his mouth, and she thought, oh, this must be some disease. After all, how many children have the universe within their mouth? Please protect my child, O Vishnu, from this problem. This is Shuddha Vatsalyaras. Pure, this is purity. Only concerned about Krishna, not concerned about even Krishna's incredible opulences. Yasoda is described like as having deer-like eyes because she glanced around like a frightened deer. In this way, Krishna's display of power in the killing of demons did not diminish the prema, the love of his intimate devotees like Mother Yasoda. Rather, due to the appearance of anxiety, their oceans of prema increased. Everything, when Krishna would display such incredible prowess, the residents in Vrindavan might get an anxiety, and that anxiety would be like a great wave on the ocean of their love for him, causing a different variety of ecstasy. This is the power of the Vrishbhasi's love. Even more than Arjuna's love, which was so intimate. But he became fearful for himself when he saw the universal form. And Mother Yasoda just closed her eyes and prayed to Vishnu to protect Krishna. Rather, due to the appearance of anxiety, their ocean of prema increased. The Brajavasis believe that Krishna was saved because of the abundant pious activities of Nanda and the Gopis. In this case, however, Krishna simply displayed his power, Aishwarya Shakti, without cause, not because of demons. Thoroughly surprised, Yashoda thought only of this: what has happened to my child? Yashoda's affection did not decrease by thinking of Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Yashoda did not need to find a cause for what had happened. The cause of her disturbance was deep prema alone. This fixed quality of prema is continuously glorified. Thus it is described as follows: the energy of the Lord occasionally appeared to test Yashoda, but she made that energy a servant of her prema. Prema devya parichartam agichanti atarantara shaktiresha hariyakintu taya sadhasi krit bhavet. Wonderful, yes? The display of pure motherly love. And Prabhupada invariably, when talking about that love, he will contrast this always thinking of Krishna's pleasure in motherly love possessed by Mother Yashoda, not concerned at all about their own welfare or conveniences, or even contrast that with the contemporary motherly love where the mothers will even kill the children in the womb. And perhaps in the next chapter he'll say, perhaps in a previous chapter, just see how far Kali Yuga has progressed in these thousands of years. So why don't we start in the next chapter? And this chapter, interestingly enough, is called Lord Krishna Shows the Universal Form Within His Mouth, because he's going to do it again. Text 1. Sukadeva Goswami said, "O Maharaj Prakrit, the priest of the Yadav dynasty named Garga Muni, who is highly elevated in austerity and penance, was then inspired by Vasudev to go see Nanda Maharaj at his home." Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Prabhupada doesn't comment, Vishwanath does. This chapter describes Krishna's name-giving ceremony. Sanskrit is namakaran. His crawling and his stealing butter. So now Krishna is going to start performing his childish naughty activities in this chapter. And prior to that, he'll be given his names, as will Baladev, from the lotus-like mouth of Sri Gargacharya. His eating dirt also, and his displaying the universal form. After telling how Krishna killed a series of demons up to Trinavarta, Sukadeva remembered Krishna's name-giving ceremony, which took place before the killing of Trinavarta, and then narrated the story. Because the name is given quite early. And this Trinavarta, I think it was, after a year, I think so. So when Nanda Maharaj saw Garga Muni present at his home, he just had appeared there. Nanda was so pleased, of course Vasudev had sent him, as the previous text had said, so pleased that he stood up to receive him with folded hands. Although seeing Garga Muni with his eyes, Nanda Maharaj could appreciate that Garga Muni was a dhokshaja, that is, that he was not an ordinary person seen by material senses. 3. When Garga Muni had been properly received as a guest and was very comfortably seated, Nanda Maharaj submitted with a gentle and submissive words, "Dear sir, because you are a devotee, you are full in everything. Yet my duty is to serve you. Kindly order me. What can I do for you? O Lord, O my Lord, a great devotee, Persons like you move from one place to another not for their own interests, but for the sake of poor-hearted grihasthas, householders. Otherwise, they have no interest in going from one place to another. Read the first half of Prabhupada's purport. As factually stated by Nanda Maharaj, Gauga Muni, being a devotee, had no needs. So why, if one has no needs, when one would go or travel from one place to another? One travels, one maybe travels to work every day because one needs the job, the money. One needs a job to get the money. One does this because one needs that. One does another thing because one has needs. But a great devotee like Gauga Muni has no needs because he's fully satisfied. So then what causes him to go from one place to another, from one house to another? And Nanda Maharaj is saying that the cause is his own charitable disposition to the householders, to give them some Krishna consciousness. So Gauga Muni has no need. Similarly, when Krishna comes, he has no needs, for he is Purna. What does Purna mean? And Atmarama. Nonetheless, he descends to this material world to protect the devotees and vanquish miscreants. Sanskrit text. This is the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and devotees also have the same mission. One who executes this mission of para upakar, performing welfare activities for people in general, is recognized by Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as being very, very dear to him. Nacha tasman manushe shukasin me priya kritama. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised this para upakar. What does para upakar mean? Excuse me? Yeah, doing good to others, topmost welfare activities. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised this para upakar, or doing welfare for others, because in this world everyone is selfish. That is how Dadu in Vrindavan was fond of saying. He said, he'd say, "How? What are you?" or something, and he would say, "I am the worst kind of fish, a selfish." Everyone in the material world, that's what false ego means. It means to be possessed by self-centeredness, selfishness. And the change that devotional service must render in our hearts is to place Krishna in the center. And that means that the false ego will no longer be there. And that's the meaning of Kapila Dev's explanation, that devotional service dissolves one's false ego, or the subtle body. It dissolves the false ego, that is the core of the subtle body. It is the core of material existence. It dissolves one's self-centeredness and makes one Krishna-centered. So, doing good for others in the supreme way is the teachings of Krishna, the teachings of Mahaprabhu, the teachings of the Acharyas, of Srila Prabhupada. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada says, has advised this para upakar, and he has especially advised the inhabitants of India. Janma-sartaka, make your life successful, all those born in India, taking a human birth in India. Make your life successful, and then kari, kara para upakar. Then you do para upakar, you do good to others. One who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India, Bharatvarsh, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. On the whole, the duty of a pure Vaishnava devotee is to act for the welfare of others. So, Ram Nandamaraj just said he's ready to execute the order of Gauga Muni. Text 5. O great saintly person, you have compiled the astrological knowledge by which one can understand past and present unseen things. By the strength of this knowledge, any human being can understand what he has done in his past life and how it affects his present life. This is known to you. So he's subtly preparing Gauga Muni for his request that he's going to ask him to do the astrological Jyotish reading of Balaram and Krishna. We'll read the second half of Prabhupada's purport. There's one, the last sentence in the first paragraph is one that will interest you. Those in this material world for material enjoyment should know that because their present position will cease to exist, they must be careful in how they act. This is also stated by Rishabhdev, Nasaru manye yata atmanoyam asan apiklesh shada asideha asadeha. Although this body is temporary, as long as we have to live in this body, we must suffer. Whether one has a short life or a long life, one must suffer the threefold miseries of material life. Are we convinced about this, that material life actually means suffering? Yes. everyone can vote, but we'll have a closed ballot, so everyone can be honest of this paragraph. Therefore, any gentleman, Dira, must be interested in Jyotish astrology. Nanda Maharaj was trying to take advantage of the opportunity afforded by Gauga Muni's presence. For Gauga Muni was a great authority in this knowledge of astrology by which one can see the unseen events of past, present, and future. It is the duty of a father to understand the astrological position of his children and do what is needed for their happiness. Now, taking advantage of the opportunity afforded by the presence of Gauga Muni, Nanda Maharaj suggested that Gauga Muni prepare a horoscope for Nanda's two sons, Krishna and Balaram. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur, I believe, has a short comment there. In this verse, Nanda Maharaj begins to intimate his desire to Gauga Muni about the Namakaran, the name-giving ceremony of his son. Nanda Maharaj said, "Not only do you know the treatise about the planets, from which one can get knowledge beyond gross sense perception, but you have compiled it as well. By astrology, one can know the past and future of any human being. By examining the charts of this son, born to me in my old age, and seeing the lines on his hands and feet, please tell all the auspicious and inauspicious events of the child's future." We'll read one more text, and that will be the end of Nanda Maharaj's words, and then next tomorrow, Krishna allows, we'll have class and we'll speak about the predictions made by Gauga Muni about Krishna and Balaram. And he gives them their names. Prior to this time, Krishna was not known as Krishna. There. So text 6. My Lord, you are the best of the Brahmins, especially because you're fully aware of the Jyotishastra, the astrological science. Therefore, you are naturally the spiritual master of every human being. This being so, since you have kindly come to my house, kindly execute the reformatory activities for my two sons. Just read the last two lines of Prabhupada's purport. Nanda Maharaj took advantage of the opportunity of Gauga Muni's presence by requesting him to perform the necessary reformatory activities for his sons to guide them towards the destination of life. And Srila Vishwa Chakravarti Thakur comments, Nanda Maharaj continued, "Such a great personality coming to my house is just for my benefit. The benefit is twofold, for the present life and the future life. Of the two, I am now requesting you to deliver the auspiciousness of this present life." Thus Nanda Maharaj begins to speak. "You are not only the best amongst astrologers, but you are also the best amongst those who know God. You are most qualified to perform the necessary sanskaras, purificatory rites. because you're expert in telling the future and in chanting mantras. Then Gaugamuni, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, replies, but these functions should be done by the Guru. And Nanda Maharaj replies, as the verse shows, just by their birth, the brahmanas are the gurus, the spiritual masters for all human beings. So you are guru, you are brahman. So therefore you please perform this ceremony. Okay, thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
Does this happen in Krishna's one year old? I'm giving ceremony.
Excuse me?
The white one is 1 year old. Or
it didn't seem like it. Why do you?
Because he's already come from the Bible at this point.
Oh yeah, but
said was not that he was coming back, wasn't it?
That's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, that Sukadev remembered it. After he told Srinivasa, he remembered that he didn't tell about the name-giving ceremony, so he went back and told about it. So it was done much earlier, actually. So it says, Sukadev remembered Krishna killed a series of after telling how Krishna killed a series of demons up to Trinavarta, Sakata Saraputana. Sukadev remembered Krishna's name-giving ceremony, which took place before the killing of Trinavarta, and then narrated the story. So the name-giving ceremony took place much prior to the killing of Trinavarta. Okay?
Yeah. Before Shakya Sumer also? That, 3 months old.
That was three?
So.
Well, usually, how old are the children when they're given their names? A few days old. And also, Kamsa, it comes up right now that Kamsa was still ferociously trying to kill all the children born within the last few days. So Gaugamuni is going to hesitate to perform a lavish ceremony.
Yeah, but there are other parts of the 10th canon also that are
chronological.
Did you say that one should consider Krishna as protector? That is the Iyangi, and the others are the Angas.
Yeah, the Angas. Means that that's the central point of surrender. To always look to Krishna for protection and only look to Krishna for protection. And the others are based on that one. Like maintenance. Krishna is my maintainer, but the others, so Krishna is being your maintainer is derived from Krishna as being the protector. If he's protecting you, he's maintaining you. All the other points, this Jiva Goswami describes this. It's also mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Sharanagati Songbook, that all the others are derived from that one, and that is the essence of surrender, the full dependence on Krishna. Okay? That which the limbs come from, spring from, like that, the source of the limbs, and that's how it's described. Donnie?
You said that Mother Yasoda had a special type of love for Krishna, but can you just repeat what is it called?
Sudha Vatsalya Prema. That means pure motherly love. Pure means without any tinges of any sort of self-centeredness. Overwhelming pure love for Krishna. Was that what you meant?
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments? Anyone like to say anything in glorification of Mother Yasoda's great love for Krishna? Even Kunti Devi glorifies it in the first canto.
She and Rahini Mata also used to spoil to children, but in a very regulated way. They used to make sure they're really happy, but not just give them anything any time. Yes, it was.
Oh yeah, so that was mentioned, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was in the end of the. Yeah, at some point it was mentioned. Was that in the Krishna book reading on Sunday?
I don't think so.
What was good for the child was considered. It was natural for them to bring up the children in that way.
They'll give a nice place to wear, things like that.
And nice, they satisfied them in every way according to the circumstances and time. It's the mother's business. And her pleasure.
Does Nanda Maharaj have that same kind of love?
Of course.
Is it to the same degree?
Of course not. Mother Yasoda is considered the highest figure of that. But we can't think that she's Mother Yasoda is better than Nanda Maharaj like that. But her love is considered even more total and complete. But they're both fully full lovers of Krishna. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Krishna childhood pastime ki jai. Mother Yasoda's love ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Srila Chakravarti Thakur ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.